Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Jamaica Center. Next stop, Lyndon and Guy Brewer Boulevard.
Thanks.
Oh, that's 16. I can't fit any more bodies. Sorry. Oh, there's another dollar van a few minutes behind me.
But there's a mannequin in the front seat.
Yeah, so I can use a carpool lane when I'm off duty. You're not from around here.
No.
Okay, hop in.
Oh, thank you.
Fingers!
This route goes to the beach, right?
Oh, yeah. It's my personal favorite.
The mannequin.
Barbara. Just hold on to her. She's not heavy, is she?
She's foam. Do you have change for a 20?
You've never been in a dollar van before.
No.
First ride's on Barbara. But next time, just swipe your wrist here. And it debits $10. $10 to get anywhere on the route. We stopped using cash like 20 years ago.
So it's called a dollar van, and it's $10.
The name's a vestige from a simpler time.
They're legal, the vans?
They're not legal. The city's hands are tied without a working subway. What'd they expect us to do? The mayor should give us medals for running this place. You should strap in. This is an express lane. They have sky lanes where you're from?
Not in my town, but I've seen them in Jackson, Mississippi.
I know my capitals. Why'd you move to New York? Your family kick you out?
What makes you say that?
Just a guess. Okay, it's the haircut. Is my radar off? I'm usually a master at finding the only other queer in the room.
No, it's spot on. But my family's fine with me being me. Or at least they've got enough on their plate without worrying about that.
Real rough flooding in Mississippi.
Oh yeah. My dad and brother have moved 5 times in the last 4 years.
Are you guys climbers?
Yeah, but my dad hates that word. Well, I guess he just hates that it's true. He even hates that we're on the official list of climate change refugees. My family's still screwed. Just because they're screwed on paper doesn't mean they're getting help.
They come with you?
No. I moved here alone. I got a scholarship to study piano.
How you liking city life so far?
I'm still not sure. No place has ever felt like home, so I'm just trying to find somewhere that does.
Welcome to the club. Oh, we're about to ground. Hold on tight.
Oh my God, Barbara!
Man down!
Oh, I am so sorry. It just snapped off.
Barbara can't catch a break. I'll just glue her head back on later. Don't worry about it. This is Lyndon and Guy Brewer. Next stop, Rockaway. Rockaway's the beach stop, by the way. I'm glad you're going. It's a perfect day for the beach.
One of my professors told me I had to go to the beach this weekend. I know it's stupid, but I didn't know people went to the beach in New York.
Well, not for long.
What do you mean?
They're closing down.
All of them?
All of them. Every beach around the city. The coast has shrunk so much in the past few decades that there are more sandbags than actual sand on our beaches.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Yeah. First week of November, they close off Rockaway for good and start building on a seawall.
You can't keep the ocean out with a wall.
Well, they're certainly gonna try.
Oh, so that's why everyone's going to the beach this weekend.
It's the last Saturday of August. People can feel fall in the air and are getting one last sunburn in. And this time next year, we'll all have to settle for an open fire hydrant.
From Luminary Media and Film Nation Entertainment, this is Hypothetical, the show where what-ifs become now-whats. In each episode, we talk to a scientist and imagine the future based on real research and real science. Then we make that future come to life through science fiction. I'm Carrie Bechet. In this episode, what if the sea levels rose by 6 feet?
So there's a wide range of what we expect sea level might do by 2100. And really, one of the very biggest factors that's influencing what that number is what people do.
This is Dr. Twyla Moon. She says a 6 foot sea level rise is kind of on the extreme end, but it's totally possible. And Dr. Moon would know.
I'm a glaciologist, so I think about Earth's ice and mostly big ice.
Don't worry, big ice isn't a bunch of evil ice lobbyists like Big Pharma. It's just exactly what it sounds like. Big pieces of ice. Like the enormous ice sheets covering Antarctica or Greenland. But Dr. Moon fell in love with ice in Nepal when she was studying abroad as an undergraduate and saw her very first glacier.
And I kind of wandered off by myself, and it was summer, and the ice is melting, so you can hear water dropping and rocks falling, and it felt alive. And I thought, this is what I'm going to do.
Has being a glaciologist become more important because of the trajectory of climate change?
Oh, without question, the field has exploded. You can imagine that some of the things we already see today, for example, record-setting forest fires, where we're also dealing with increasing drought in the Southwest and some of the most damaging storms that we've ever had. These kinds of changes are just going to increase into the future.
As the climate warms because of greenhouse gas emissions, our big ice sheets are starting to melt. This is the biggest potential contributor to future sea level rise.
This big ice in Greenland and Antarctica and Patagonia and Alaska and the Canadian Arctic, it's all sitting there holding up water for us, helping us make sure that water's not in our ocean.
So if the worst happened and by 2100 the sea levels rose an average of 6 feet around the world, what would the world look like?
Well, you can imagine taking a map of coastlines and just throwing it out the window. The bottom tips of Florida is going to disappear. It's going to get eaten in around the edges. It's almost as though the Cookie Monster came around and just started nibbling at all of those low-lying edges.
Which is what the world looks like in 2120, as Casey and Mel ride in the dollar van across the eastern stretches of Queens, peppered with flooded and abandoned subway stations. Drones and pigeons share airspace, and New York's skyline is several stories higher. State-funded 3D printers have transformed industrial waste into towering pastel-colored housing complexes. Mel's van passes by the abandoned JFK Airport. Its runways have turned into bogs. High-speed planes fly overhead, bound for the new Branson Airport in Long Island. As Mel drives, the smell of salt water grows more intense with each passing block until Mel finally announces,
"Last stop, Rockaway Beach."
"Thanks for the ride."
Mel.
"Casey, nice to meet you."
"Casey, why don't you come one step further?"
"You said this was the last stop."
"Officially, but I'm going to Fire Island."
"Fire Island? Sounds ominous."
"But it used to be the greatest beach on the East Coast. It's been the queer capital of summer for generations of New Yorkers."
"I don't know. Maybe next weekend."
"Next weekend it'll be closed. Forever."
"The flooding's that bad?"
"It's always been a tiny strip of sand, but with the rising tides, it's disappearing. It's 100 meters at its widest. The state is shutting it down before it gets too dangerous. It's going out with a bang, though. There's a massive party going on out there right now. What's your sign?
Virgo.
This is a big week for Virgos. The stars are aligned. Come have fun. I'll give you a ride back to Queens after sunset. On me.
Is it dangerous?
Nothing you can't handle, Mississippi. Plus, it's low tide.
Okay, I'm in. But I'm paying you this time.
Fire Island. A couple hours outside of the city, this tiny but legendary community is in the South Bay of Long Island. It has been a staple of queer New York since the 1930s. And now, despite the rapidly shrinking strip of land, they continue to flock here to keep a sense of community intact, even as the beach disappears before their eyes. And even now, when drones deliver takeout and microchips give directions to the nearest dollar van, to get to Fire Island, you still have to take...
a boat?
A ferry. This isn't some climate change thing. Fire Island's always had a ferry. It's part of its charm. A journey to the underworld. Except, instead of Hades greeting us, it'll probably be a guy in a Speedo.
Form a line, please. 2 by 2. 2 by 2.
Like Noah's Ark.
Yeah, that's good. Come on.
But the line starts...
Hey, Reggie, what's up? I got a +1 today.
We're cutting?
I forgot. You're from the South.
It's so quiet. We spent a few weeks on a boat back home, between houses. Couldn't hear myself think when the motor was on. It was so loud.
Solar power. Oh, smell that air, huh? What's the air like in Mississippi?
Heavy. Like you're being smothered by hot, wet towels.
Do you miss it?
I miss my family. You grew up in the city?
Born and raised. In Chinatown, right by the bridge. I live in the apartment I grew up in a couple of months ago. My landlord told me the whole block is getting sold this year to a private developer. So instead of floodproofing our buildings, they're just giving up and tearing it all down.
Did you get evicted?
No, but he says it's only a matter of time. He's sympathetic, but he's not going to fight for me. It's funny, no one thinks they're the man, but just because you're not actively trying to screw the underdog doesn't mean you're not part of the problem. Luckily, I got a lawyer friend helping me out with my case. Pro bono. Equal but opposite force. A law of physics and of human nature. You can always fight back.
I wish my family could fight back against the floods.
You can't fight Mother Nature. She is a tough old butch.
Back home, my dad made us keep all our stuff packed so that every time it flooded, we'd be ready to move again.
Sounds like he cares about you a lot. Was he upset when you left?
He hates New York. He hates the whole East Coast. Thinks you're all a bunch of entitled sissies.
Thinly veiled homophobia?
No. Thinly veiled bitterness. He's always saying that the government only cares about the coasts, that the coasts get all the money.
Do you agree?
I don't know. But people do forget that it's not just beaches that are flooding. Every time there's a major snowstorm in the Midwest, the rivers and tributaries overflow. It's madness. Where I'm from, houses are on stilts and still get destroyed in bad weather.
Wish you could put tenement buildings on stilts.
Grover, Connor!
Hey, how you doing?
Are we gonna go over and say hi?
No, look at them. They're in a fight for sure. And it'll blow over. It always does. Let's go back to the stern. We're almost there.
Gosh, everyone's so happy.
This is a good ferry crowd. In the early days, the island was more for gay men than anyone else. But everything's evolved, gotten more inclusive. Especially after Cherry Grove disappeared, when the whole east side of the island sank. It's like we started from scratch. More in the lost history, but started a new chapter.
But this is it. The last weekend.
The last weekend. Reggie's docking. Let's go help him out. The old dock fell apart 2 years ago, so we have to either hover down to the sandbags or use a ramp. Come on.
So how far away is this watery future? It's sooner than glaciologists predicted, even just a few decades ago.
Before that, we thought, well, these probably changed slowly, and that idea was totally blown out of the water. as we were able to put satellites up in space and actually measure these continental size areas of ice. And we could say, holy shnikaroonies, these are changing really rapidly in just a year or 2 years or 3 years. And so that was a sudden wake-up call. Wow, ice sheets can change really quickly. They contain a lot of potential sea level rise, and we need to understand how they can change.
For most of the 1900s, the ocean levels rose an average of 1.2 millimeters per year. Then, in 1993, that number more than doubled to an average of 3 millimeters per year.
And you think, a millimeter of sea level rise? Who gives a coot about that, you know? But when you add it up year after year after year and understand that that's just one component, even centimeters of sea level rise has really large impacts.
If all the small glaciers around the world were to melt, that would cause about 3 feet of ocean level rise, which, remember, would already cause major changes in our landscape. But if all the ice in Antarctica was to melt, that would be 180 feet of sea level rise. And while this is unlikely to happen in the short term, the melting has already started, and even that small amount is a big deal, in part because the water isn't evenly distributed around the whole Earth.
So it's not what you would expect. You would kind of expect if we're losing a lot of ice from Greenland that sea level rise should go up close to Greenland. But in fact, it's exactly the opposite.
Because of continental gravitational pull, the melted ice from Antarctica would actually whirl itself all the way up to the northern hemisphere, making sea level rise even worse up there.
The mass of ice sitting in a large ice sheet actually works like a magnet. It has gravitational pull, and it pulls the ocean water around it towards that mass of ice.
So as Antarctica melts, it is losing its ability to pull water towards it. That makes it sort of a double whammy. As the ice sheets melt, they add water to the ocean, and that water moves further away from those ice sheets.
So in New York, you are going to care quite a lot about what's happening in Antarctica.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hello, my name is Alison Larkin, and I'm a writer, comedian, and narrator and host of the Jane Austen podcast. This podcast brings Jane Austen's stories to the 21st century, along with commentary from me and conversations with fascinating people who all share a love of Jane Austen. And of course, we had to start with none other than Pride and Prejudice. So join me as we embark on a journey through some of the most wonderful stories I know. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Wow. Wow.
Beautiful, right?
This is the happiest funeral I've ever seen.
This is the real deal, Casey. You're one lucky Virgo.
Oh my God. What's with all the deer?
There's no predators or guns to kill them off. They've been multiplying unhindered for over a century. The locals hate them, but I think they're kind of sweet. Beer?
Can I just take one?
It's communal. Cheers.
Cheers.
To your initiation.
Is this a cult?
No, it's heaven. Hey, steer clear of the wet sand. Stick to the sandbags and dry sand. It's safer.
I can take one more applicant, so step right up, you crazy queers, and make your case.
What's going on?
This is new to me.
Step right up. Step right up.
That's a Carney voice, not an auctioneer.
Oh, shut up, Melissa. Anyone else have a case to make?
What is this?
An auction. The water's about to swallow this place up, so we're auctioning off Fire Island's legacy. Whoever needs it the most wins.
In a jewelry box?
It's symbolic. Any other applicants? Who thinks they deserve the legacy of the island?
Another beer?
Sure, I'll take another.
Over here, we've got the lesbian in all black who sprained her ankle on the way over and feels she deserves our sympathy and attention.
That's right.
And over here, we've got Eeyore moaning and groaning about being excommunicated by his family for being gay. Yeah. Anyone else?
Say something.
Me?
Do it.
No.
Do it. You'll regret it if you don't.
Why?
Anybody else?
Casey's got an offer.
Mel.
It's Casey's first time on the island.
Okay. Hit me, rookie. Why do you need it? Give me your best sob story.
Because I'm a climber, and I just moved here, and I don't know anything or anybody, and I have literally nothing else.
Boo-hoo, rookie. The box is yours.
Yeah. Welcome to Fire Island, baby. Wait to open this up until the time's right.
Wait, you should give it to someone who really needs it.
Just take it, Casey. It's yours.
What's happening?
Something's wrong.
It's that guy behind the umbrella.
Oh no, did he?
He's sinking?
Quicksand.
Hey, give me your hand, give me your hand.
They got him, he's okay. That is why you stick to the bags and to the dry sand.
Well, we've got quicksand in the Mississippi backcountry too. I guess it's getting worse everywhere.
Looks like it might rain. Let's get inside.
Inside? Like inside of the houses?
No, inside the lighthouse. The only thing on this island not ruined by the floods.
Sea level rise will cause massive flooding beyond just our beaches.
Flooding's not always just coming from the waves in front of you. It can also come from any of those low-lying areas behind the coast where additional water can seep into our ground sources.
Ground sources, like our aquifers.
The freshwater resources that we had might not be freshwater anymore. And you might have to redesign your water infrastructure because you now have water that is a quality that's not drinkable.
We're starting to see some of these effects already. For example, in Maryland.
And there in the city of Annapolis, they already see significantly more flooding in their downtown area than they did in the past. So many more days a year, they have flooded parking lots and flooded businesses.
Their storm drains were designed to take the water from inland and allow it to drain out into the ocean. But now, the water is coming the opposite direction, from the ocean and up through the storm drains.
And they have decided, we're going to make a plan that is a plan for our next decade. So they have an entire engineering project to retrofit their storm drains. They have the planning and the community to do that.
But there are plenty of places that are not able to prepare for the effects of climate change. Already, people have been forced to move as their land disappears. And when they do, they can't take everything with them.
People want to be able to stay where they are, right? We have roots. We have generations of roots in these different places. Someone who wants to stay in place, they might need to build their house on 10-foot-tall poles, essentially, or they might need to more often get places from their house in a boat and not in a car. So I think there will be people who are tied to that place and find ways to stay in that place, but they're probably going to lose the infrastructure and the community they have, let alone the cultural parts. But at some point, nature will have her way, and there's only so much we can do to hold back the oceans.
The drizzle turns into a steady rain. Partiers turn off their music, stow away their sound systems. Some crowd under umbrellas. Others walk inland to continue the party in the vacant homes. The few police officers on the beach can't stop the giant wave of joyful trespassers. Mel and Casey walk past the last houses on this side of the island.
No way.
What?
Look at this house. The yard.
It's all their stuff. Looks like they had crazy water damage and just tossed everything.
Well, it's all state-of-the-art stuff. They must have been rich.
The houses closest to the lighthouse were all built by this one guy. He was convinced he could make water and weatherproof houses that would revitalize the area. Clearly, it didn't work out.
Well, Hank.
Their houseboat still works.
Well, Hank, would you?
Oh, poor little guy.
Take him.
I can't carry him all the way. Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Look at that.
That looks old.
Can you lift the back?
What is it?
It's an upright Steinway. A Sheridan model. It's based on an 18th century design. It's gorgeous.
Have you ever played one?
No, never. Can you?
I'll prop it up.
On a summer's evening, we formed a merry group. Boys and girls together, we would sing and waltz. While the Jenny played the organ on. Oh, man.
No, keep going.
Oh, the key is broken. On the sidewalks of New York.
Bravo, bravissimo.
Thanks, Mel.
Okay, now even the deer are taking cover. Hey, you okay?
Yeah. I just realized that the deer are going to drown when the island is completely underwater.
Come on, let's get inside.
Can we go to the top?
We have to. I gotta say hi to Pete.
Pete?
Let's see if I remember the code. After you. No elevator. Just good old-fashioned stairs. The base floods at high tide. Pete, open up.
Mel!
St. Pete, you look surprised.
I try not to expect visitors so that when they come, it's always a pleasant surprise. And who are you?
I'm Casey, I'm new.
Welcome, I'm Pete, the lighthouse keeper.
The lighthouse is still running?
Oh, no, it was decommissioned in 1974. I'm part of a long line of preservationists.
He used to be the star of the island's 4th of July drag shows every year.
But then I found my true calling.
Living in an old lighthouse.
Preserving an old lighthouse. Casey, you're new to New York?
Brand new.
Look at this, out this window here. Look, the clouds cleared up in the west.
It's the city.
The whole skyline. People don't know you can see it from up here, but you can when it's clear. You know, this lighthouse was the first landmark many immigrants saw before docking in the city. The first thing, way before the Statue of Liberty.
Pete, please tell me you're leaving next week with the rest of the residents.
No, I'm staying.
What if there's a hurricane? What if the lighthouse starts sinking?
It's not safe anymore. You have a pension, don't you? You can leave. It's time to go.
Mel, you came here to convince me to leave.
When the rest of the island goes under, you're toast, Pete. Don't be stupid.
Do you know the story of Noah's Ark?
I grew up Baptist.
So you know the story. But before that story, there was another flood story from the oldest work of literature known to humankind. the Epic of Gilgamesh from ancient Mesopotamia. A hero's journey. You're gonna wanna see it. In the early days of civilization, the gods become angry with humankind and decide to flood the world and start over. Sound familiar? One man, Utnapishtim, gains the favor of the gods and is instructed to build a boat, an ark, like Noah's. When the flood ends, the gods grant Utnapishtim eternal life. Centuries later, King Gilgamesh of Sumeria decides he wants to live forever and takes a ferry across the waters of death to pay a visit to Utnapishtim, who's still kicking. Gilgamesh asks for help, but the immortal man refuses to help the king, saying it's foolish to try and conquer death, as death is inevitable, and without it, we'd have no reason to find joy in life. Well, easy to say if you're immortal, but it got through to Gilgamesh. In the end, the king returns to his city, gazing in newfound awe at the glorious walls of his civilized world.
Wait, so are you King Gilgamesh in this situation?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just talking. I don't get many visitors.
He does this.
Because if you were King Gilgamesh, then you'd reject your own fantasy and move back to civilization, right?
Fantasy.
Sorry, I didn't mean to...
Casey's got a point, Pete.
I'm the keeper. I stay.
But you'll call me if the last fairy leaves and you change your mind? Right?
This is my home. I can't give up on the island, Mel. Just because a bunch of dummies a century ago made a mess of the world doesn't mean I have to surrender to the damage. I signed a contract 20 years ago to preserve this place. And I'm staying. Just look at that view. You know, I saw a humpback whale out there once. Right there, in the bay.
Our ocean levels will rise. At this point, it's inevitable.
We've baked in loss of ice for the next few decades, so we have a pretty good sense that some of these changes are coming no matter what, and we're going to see some rises in sea level that might be on the order of a foot or a foot and a half.
But beyond this foot and a half, nothing is yet decided. We can slow future damage.
And that's where we avoid having to talk about this world at all. Boy, technology and engineering and invention has already done incredible things for us, and we could really, really be helped by taking advantage of more of the things that we've already invented.
Inventions that reduce emissions, like wind and solar energy systems, low-energy appliances, electric cars. And scientists already know how to capture carbon and take it out of the atmosphere. They're now working on making that process cleaner and cheaper.
I can imagine a future where we have implemented technology so we're taking carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere, we're cooling the climate, or at least maybe stabilizing the climate.
But the damage to our big ice sheets is probably permanent.
Growing ice sheets is a process that happens over tens of thousands of years. And even if we stabilize our climate today, we're not going to see growth of land ice.
But there is good news. The big ice sheets are still, well, big. Even if we can't reverse the damage we've done to the big ice, we can stop it from melting away completely.
So expect continued sea level rise over your lifetime, over your children's lifetime, probably over your grandchildren's lifetime, and maybe beyond that. But what we do as humans and how much greenhouse gases we put into the atmosphere, that is a huge component of whether we're seeing sea level rise 300 years from now and how much it is.
The sun's going down. I should get KC back to Queens. Pete, if you ever need help, you can always just
I don't do goodbyes, Mel. You know that. A pleasure meeting you, KC. I wish you success. Remember, Without you, there is no us.
Always so dramatic.
Thanks, Pete. I actually want you to have this.
Oh, a jewelry box? I don't do drag anymore.
No, it's the legacy of Fire Island. I won it in an auction. I think you should hold on to it.
What's inside?
I actually don't know.
If it's a pile of sand, I'm throwing it out the window. Oh.
It's beautiful.
Wow.
If you want it back, you can't have it. It's mine now. Well, go on, get out of here. Casey, it was a joy and a privilege to meet you.
You too. Bye, Pete.
Oh, look at that sunset.
The sky is on fire. Blood red and violent orange paint the horizon. As Mel and Casey walk back to the party, they pass bonfires and boats full of revelers, all blurring together in the encroaching darkness. People from all five boroughs and beyond, all brought together to celebrate the funeral of Fire Island. Mel and Casey walk in silence, and Casey's heart fills with a totally foreign feeling. Belonging. A sense of kinship with every person there. It's so intense, so overwhelming, that Casey has to fight back tears. When Mel asks,
"You okay?"
Casey considers trying to describe the feeling, but seeing that same feeling reflected back in Mel's eyes, Casey just says,
"Yeah."
"Look, don't worry too much about Pete. He's got a lot of lives left. I'm gonna keep tabs on him."
"But Mel, what about you? Where will you go if you're pushed out?"
"I'll be all right. I got the van. I got couches all over the city."
"You deserve a home."
"New York is my home."
"But it's gonna keep sinking."
"Then we'll find a new way to come together. Our people have a knack for finding higher ground."
"Well, you have one more couch to crash on now." "What is that?"
"Oh my God.
We definitely don't have that kind of boat in Mississippi."
"It's the Queen's."
As the sunset is swallowed by a heavy purple sky, a boat full of drag queens approaches the shore. This time, Mel is too moved to explain what's happening to Casey. In the 1970s, when a drag queen was denied entry to a Fire Island restaurant, a group of friends came to the rescue, showing up by boat in full drag to invade the institution. Since then, the invasion has been an annual tradition.
Mel!
"They all came out one last time to say goodbye to the island. There must be hundreds."
The queens dock, and the party grows bigger and louder and more joyful, and Fire Island smiles from its deathbed. Hypothetical is a production of Luminary Media and Film Nation Entertainment in association with Transmitter Media. The series was created by Milan Popelka and is executive produced by Greta Cohn and Milan Popelka, and produced by Caitlin Pierce and Michaela Salella, with Oluwakemi Aladisui and with help from Todd Whitney and Jessica Glazer. This episode's story was written by Maggie Rose. Mel was played by Becca Blackwell. KC was played by Ebony Booth. And Pete was played by Varin Ayala. Supporting roles played by Jake Levy, Stephanie Worster, Lucy Licht, and Ben Lapidus. The series was edited by Stephanie Fu and Mira Sharma. Sound design and mixing by Nocturnal Sound. Music by Dara Hirsch. Special thanks to Dr. Twi LaMoon and the Science and Entertainment Exchange for connecting us to brilliant scientists like her. Additional thanks to Allison Cohen and Sarah Vacchiano from Film Nation Entertainment. I'm your host, Carrie Bechet. Thanks for listening.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.